Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour cosmic cocktail party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta. Butte to Brooklyn. Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How are we doing, everybody?
Now, wait a minute.
We've got a happy Friday here for you. And what a show it is. How about the star of Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo? The star of Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo? The star of The Animal, Hot Chick, and so many other memorable comedies in American cinematic history? Rob Schneider will join us on the show this morning. We have been tracking Rob down all week long, and we finally have our trophy buck. He is scheduled to join us coming up here in hour number 3, en route to having Rob Schneider on the show. We will rank our top 5 favorite Rob Schneider movies ever. We will rank the greatest Rob Schneider acting moments ever. Coming up on the show, what could be more important than that? Also this morning on the program, did MLB scheduling screw the Astros? Aaron Boone's viral moment in an ejection yesterday. Sam Presti apparently is getting death threats. The Twins are going to set the all-time record for home runs. What? And too little, too late for Mac Brown.
Oh, okay.
All of that coming up this morning here on the DA Show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. And because I am a man of my word, I promised you earlier in the week the best of Bob Uecker's 1971 performance appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. It was his first ever appearance. It is brilliant in all its Uekiness, and we will play it here on the show coming up later on this hour. Now you know you're in for a real treat on a Friday. A real treat. Plus, it's a Target demo. So we want to know where you're at and how you're listening. And I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. But let us first begin with Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh on the Athletics TK Show podcast took a little dig at former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer. Now, Harbaugh was never able to beat Urban. Urban retires from Ohio State 4-0 against Harbaugh. And Harbaugh's his record against the big squads, his top dogs, his biggest rivals, the best team of the Big Ten, has been ugly. Harbaugh has not even been able to get to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game, let alone win the Big Ten. No spot yet in the college football playoff. And now Harbaugh's going into year number five. And rightfully so, I think there's some impatience now with Harbaugh. He is 38-14 since taking over Michigan, which is good, but not great. And Michigan gets enough attention to be an Alabama or a Clemson, but they don't have any winning like Alabama or Clemson or Oklahoma or Georgia. And so, what's the deal with John Harbaugh? What's the deal with Jim Harbaugh? What's the deal with all the Harbaughs? Because for Jim in Ann Arbor, he doesn't have that championship like his brother. He doesn't have that ultimate bauble, that stone, that ring, that trophy, that moment that can validate why we think he's a great coach. I mean, Harbaugh did some great things at Stanford. Remarkable. Some great things with the 49ers. But in arguably the place where he should be winning at its highest, he's not. And so for Harbaugh, going after a guy like Urban Meyer who has the championships, is he out of line? It's where we begin. You're cold open.
All you can be judged on is your record. You know, what your record is overall, what your record is within your conference, and what your record is head-to-head matchups with the other teams that you play. And right now, Ohio State is the only team that has a better record than us, has a better conference record than us, and has the better head-to-head matchup with us.
What was your reaction when Urban Meyer retired?
Yeah, Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Well, Harbaugh's right. And Urban Meyer is the farthest thing from a clean coach. Urban Meyer absolutely has responsibility for the Florida Gators program going completely sideways and having tons of issues, disciplinary issues all across that program, essentially became a renegade program because Urban Meyer didn't mind bringing in bad guys and compromising whatever ethics or morals or values he pretends to have. And the same thing at Ohio State, the disgrace that was last year about an assistant coach, Zach Smith, that clearly was a bad guy that Urban Meyer made excuses for and rationalized because he felt some type of loyalty to Zach Smith's dad, was a bad look as well. Urban Meyer has always compromised his ethics, his values, and thus had controversy everywhere that he's been. And he's been completely dishonest, let's face it. He walks away from Florida because of his health issues and wanting to spend time with family. And yet, a year later, he's back, not spending time with family, back on the sidelines. I guess all those health issues went away in 12 months. I mean, Urban Meyer has never been honest, ever. Not an honest day in his life. But he can win. So Harbaugh is accurate there. But Harbaugh's the wrong messenger. Because when Harbaugh is saying, well, the only team that's been better than us is Ohio State. I mean, they're the only team. Look, you've got to at least get to Indy. You've got to at least get to the Big Ten championship game. When you look at Ohio State going 3 out of the last 5 years, Michigan State going, Penn State going, Michigan can't even win their side of the Big Ten. And for Harbaugh, I'm sick and tired of him saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be accountable. Oh, yeah, we're going to be accountable. But have you noticed how many good things we've done? The reason why Urban Meyer is brought up by Harbaugh is because he wants to play the card off, but at least we're running a clean program. at least we're running a clean program. And look, there's a value there. I'm not going to sit here and say there's not, because I'm criticizing in the same breath Urban Meyer for running a dirty program. But Harbaugh, it gets tired when he hides behind his accomplishments, but ultimately he says, well, accountability is about winning and losing. Well, is it? Because if it is, you're failing this. You're failing the grade. Penn State's been there. Ohio State's been there. Michigan State's been there. And you haven't. So on the one hand, Harbaugh wants to sell us that, well, we're running a clean program. I mean, yeah, Urban Meyer won a lot of games, but I mean, he's been dirty. Controversy. There's always something. We don't have that. We don't have that. And they're the only team that's better than us. And then say, well, you know what? You got to judge me on wins and losses. You got to judge me on accountability. No, it can't be both ways. Harbaugh garners so much attention for being Harbaugh, sleeping in tree houses with recruits, jumping in pools, throwing footballs around the Vatican, taking his guys to Europe, stomping around to the sideline, great quotes, great press conferences. He likes to drink milk and eat steak. He says quirky things. He has all this attention for all of those things. Well, at some point, you just become those things instead of a football coach. And the fact is, Harbaugh's winning hasn't been anywhere near the attention he has garnered. And at some point, you just stop taking him seriously. Because you got to, at some point, win the big games. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. When we return, Mac Brown speaking at ACC Media Days, harkening back to what happened at his time at Texas and why things went south for him. But is it too little too late? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
DA, first of all, let me just say, you're my absolute favorite show. I listen to them all, but you're the absolute best, my friend.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, thanks.
That's very good, Damon.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Need some listening, appointment listening for the weekend? How about the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast? This week, Mraz and I go inside a deep dive of the block party last weekend at Mraz's house, including my first experience with Bob's Bar. That's his dad's homemade bar in the backyard. Bob the Deli Man built a bar in his backyard, and now rando strangers come over from all types of the parts of the neighborhood. And side B is a profile on He Who Shall Not Be Named, which has caused quite a stir and controversy here on the show this week. I will not address the contents of side B besides saying it's a profile on He Who Shall Not Be Named, because He Who Shall Not Be Named is banned for life. And today, I think it's time for us to just take a step back and stop flogging this horse. By the way, it's an Ask the Pros Day where you get to pick a question, any question, send it to me. Twitter, DA on CBS, I'll answer it later on in the show. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Aw. Mac Brown is explaining why things got so bad at the end of his tenure at Texas. Well, isn't that special? Mac Brown! On why now at North Carolina, he will always have full control over his staff.
I'm the one that knows who fits the place better than anyone else, so I need to make those final decisions. The other thing I'll do is you get into coaching because you love the game and you love the players. And if you're not careful, you win so many games, it becomes about the wins.
I will readily admit, I want to be transparent here. I find Mack Brown very annoying. And I find Mack Brown very annoying because a supposed unbiased media that is supposed to criticize when needed oftentimes goes kid gloves on Mack Brown because he's just a aw shucks, dadgummit, really good conversationalist. And I find that to be very annoying because Mack Brown has survived for as long as he has simply because he's a good storyteller. And that coaches with far less personality got far less leash to be a mediocre head coach. They got run out of town because the media will jump on a guy that doesn't have good people skills. And fans will as well. This is not just about media. This is about fans. People want to root for people that seem like good people. But nobody ever knew whether Mack Brown was a good guy or not. They just knew that he could spin a yarn. And I think Mack kept his job at Texas for so long despite being really ineffective because, dadgummit, he would shake your hand and just tell you so many great stories that you just would want to sit around and listen to them all night long. And so when Mack Brown takes over the UNC job at this age, I don't expect anything great. I don't think that UNC could do much better, but he's 67 years old, and after the Larry Fedora disaster, they're just looking for relevance, and the last time they were really relevant in a football sense was back when Mack Brown was there in the 90s. So UNC, just like every movie that's being rebooted these days, I mean, now new Top Gun, Top Gun Maverick, let's just go back to the 80s and 90s on everything at this point. Just reboot everything, because nothing is as good as nostalgia, apparently. But when you look at Texas, Mack Brown simply saying, now I'm going to have control over my staff, is laughable. Mack Brown, with perhaps the greatest pool of talent in America, and I will add in USC, I'll add in any of the Florida schools, Texas is such a brand in the state of Texas that all Texas has to do is collect one out of every 3 to 4 to 5 elite players. They don't have to get every elite player in Texas. One out of every 5 is fine. And you should win a national championship or at least compete for one. It's a joke when Texas can. And Mack Brown won a national championship at Texas and then went 5-7. 5-7 in 2010. He was 2-6 in the Big 12. Do you know how hard it is for Texas to be 2-6 in the Big 12? The next year, 4-5 in the Big 12. 4-5. Two sub-500 seasons in the Big 12? Next year, 5-4 in conference, in Alamo Bowl. In the final 3 years of Mack at UT was Holiday Bowl, Alamo Bowl, Alamo Bowl. And the year before that, they missed the postseason altogether because they went 2-6 and 5-7 overall. Again, do you know how hard it is for Texas to go 4 straight years of no bowl, Holiday Bowl, Alamo Bowl, Alamo Bowl, and one of those years, no Longhorns player being drafted? None. They had no NFL players on that roster. None. They missed out on Johnny Manziel. They missed out on every major quarterback that they could have had in the state of Texas for like 6 straight years. Embarrassing. And to simplify it, like, well, I'm going to have more control now. I just didn't have as much control. You know, he checked out. He checked out because the going was good and because Mack was done doing the work. And so he relinquished whatever control because he just didn't want to do it anymore. It was easier to speak and do public speakings and shake hands and kiss donors. And it was easier to do that because he's good at that. You know what's harder than doing a speech for the Lubbock, El Paso, Austin Longhorns Club? It's way harder to go out and recruit. It's way harder to game scheme. It's way harder to watch film. It's way harder to coach. Yeah, you could do the Fort Worth Alumni Club every Wednesday. That's what he wanted to do. He checked out. And so now to kind of say, well, I'll have more control over my staff, to me feels very disingenuous. It's like, no, actually, you just are now willing to do more work because this is probably your last job at a Power 5 conference. Now you're willing to do work. Back then, you weren't. I mean, let's call it like it is. Back then, Mac was lazy. He got lazy because he had ultimate job security. They had won a national championship, and he thought it was just going to be a locomotive that kept running. He got lazy. So now just kind of say, like, I'm not as lazy anymore. I'd rather hear that. Like, back then, I got real lazy about 10 years ago. And there were loads that Texas should have never, ever, ever hit. And forget what Tom Herman's doing now, trying to dig out of Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong was trying to dig out of Mac Brown. But because he's so good on the rubber chicken circuit, he's so good spinning the yarn, talking your ear off, dadgummit, all that stuff, he got a pass. He kept getting a pass, and he's still getting a pass. I mean, the fact is, when he says, I'm going to have more control over my staff at UNC, it just means I'm not going to be as lazy as I was at Texas. And we criticize coaches all the time. Coaching is work. It's a lot of work. Coaching at that level is a lot of work. I mean, I take my shots at Nick Saban's arrogance and excuse-making yesterday, but Nick Saban's work ethic is ridiculous. Totally, utterly ridiculous. Bill Belichick's work ethic is totally, insanely ridiculous for a human being. Mac Brown in that sphere was real lazy by the end. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us as well on Twitter, DA on CBS. Justin tweets, DA, wait a second, you're in on a Friday? Hashtag, how could it happen? Yes, it's a Christmas in July miracle. I'm here on a Friday. Enjoy it. You see, even I'm not as lazy as Mac Brown at the end of the Texas job. Even I am coming to work every rando Friday in the summer. Putting Mac Brown's work ethic to shame. When we come back here on the show. It's a Target Demo Friday. Send me what you're doing as you listen to the show and where you're at. I'll read through those coming up later on in the program. But did MLB scheduling screw the Astros? And as I promised, the best of Bob Uecker in his first ever appearance on The Tonight Show 1971. Where are you going to hear that on Sports Talk today? DA, CBS Sports Radio. Go, 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 go,
go, go, go. Good value, big upside.
Our friend Adam Zucker joining us. There's never a hair out of place on Saturday.
It helps when you're losing it at clumps per month, you know.
Oh, no.
We all get older, D.A., I'm sorry.
I know, but you
turning 40, I could handle. Two kids, I could handle. We got a puppy a few months ago. I'm toast.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Luckily for Mraz, he's got no hair to lose with the little one coming up in December. Glad you're with us on the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's a little reminder. You can listen to us on your phone if you need. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network on all of our wonderful affiliates. Also, Sirius XM Channel 206. And listen to us on your phone using the radio.com app, Apple Music, or the CBS Sports app, or other streaming devices. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico this morning. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico, homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. The Astros are not happy about scheduling that has them making a quick turnaround ahead of tonight's home game against the Rangers. The Astros played their final game of their series against the Angels in Anaheim last night. The team was scheduled to get back into Houston at about 5:15 Central Time this morning, so just a couple of hours ago. Just 14 hours before they had to take the field again for first pitch of tonight's game against the Rangers. Josh Reddick told the Houston Chronicle, quote, "To censor myself, it's BS. I don't think one person is happy about the night game travel. I think it's a complete misjudgment on how they make a schedule. It's absurd, really." Look at us. We don't do that to anyone. We don't ever give them a getaway day unless it's Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. It makes no sense. It really makes no sense. A lot of guys aren't happy about it, myself included. It's going to be a long day, but this is what we get paid to do. We suck it up and hopefully take it as a little spark to fire us up. Right now, the Astros lead the A's by 5.5 games in the American League West. A.J. Hinch, manager on the turnaround, quote, "It's going to be brutal. It's one of those things that I hope they address the next CBA. It's on our schedule. We're going to play, and we need to win. We're going to play our normal guys tonight, and I'll address any sort of rest over the weekend," end of quote. I think I should just have a daily segment on why MLB scheduling sucks. Because how many times can I bang this drum? Boom! Boom! Hear ye, hear ye! Come one, come all! Today's example of why MLB scheduling is terrible! Boom! Boom! Whether it's very anticipated, highly anticipated matchups coming the first week of the season on rainy, cold nights in April, whether it is the day after the All-Star game where no Mike Trout, no Bryce Harper, the stars that you want to market, there's one game, and they don't even take advantage of it. It was a Rangers-Astros game. Whether it is coming back from L.A. to Houston and then having to play the same day. I mean, just chalk it up. I don't know who's doing MLB scheduling, but Rob Manfred, forget about pace of play. Forget about changing the rules. Forget about all of that, the juiced ball. Get your scheduling right. It's kind of amazing that in today's day and age, you can't just take notes from other teams and other leagues. It's just always something with MLB scheduling. Look, I know it's not perfectly easy because you have 30 teams and 162 games. That's a lot of scheduling. It's not like an NFL schedule. But nothing else is going on in your ballparks. It'd be one thing if the NHL is like, yeah, we get jammed up all the time because the NBA teams take precedence in our arenas. And we've got to make sure that we're always looking out for the NBA teams because they have precedence and they have priority. And then we have big concerts and we've got all these jingle balls around the holidays and massive concerts. Lady Gaga's playing here and Taylor Swift is playing there. And we're trying to get the Sharks and the Predators in and it's not quite working. I would get that. There's nothing else going on in your ballparks. Nothing. Now, do we, though, have to criticize Josh Reddick, amongst others, for baseball players griping about travel here, Mraz? I mean, they do get to fly charter.
I mean, geez, it's not as if they're sitting middle, coach, spirit, you know, they're Cam Newton begging for extra leg room. These guys are flying in lay-down seats with as much peanut butter M&Ms as they want, as much, you know, little liquor that they don't have to pay for as they want to put them asleep. You board a plane at 2 in the morning. It's not exactly like us where we have the crying baby next to us or the guy reclined all the way in our lap. These guys are basically sleeping in hotel rooms above the sky until they land. And not to mention you're getting paid how much money to stand half the game in the outfield with no balls hit to you. I don't want to hear it that this is suddenly some kind of hardship on you that you've landed and you got to turn around and play quickly.
No security either.
When you
fly charter, how about this? This is a reality. None of us will ever know how great it is. They don't go through the terminal. They just pull the team bus up on the tarmac and just board the plane. They don't go through security. There is no TSA. There's no boarding process. They don't even have to go inside the terminal. They just have a bus pull up on the tarmac, and they walk onto a flight.
Yeah, they're not in the Hudson News comparing water bottle prices. That's not what happens here. Somebody carries their luggage for them. They get on the plane. They sit down. They lay down. There's nobody. They can play cards if they want at a table. They can sleep if they want. They can do whatever they want. They're literally in a hotel above the sky, and they have the nerve to complain about scheduling again for a sport where they show up. Maybe you take batting practice. Maybe you don't. Maybe you get two balls hit to you a game. Maybe you don't. I mean, give me a break.
What is the best benefit of the charter flight that they take? Is it that there is no security?
Oh, that's it.
Is it that they have an entire row to themselves that they want to just lay down and sleep? Is it
a row? Do you know how big these seats are?
Well, I'm saying you could have an entire row,
right,
though.
Right, but it's not even like the row we're picturing.
No, I know. But you have, you're basically everybody has a Lazy Boy, but they could also lay down over a series of Lazy Boys.
Sure.
Is it total free food? I mean, you're talking about profession. I once had a friend that flew on the charter flights in the NBA. He said they would have fresh sushi made every trip. Is it the food? Is it the free booze?
Look, on a personal level, would I love the free food? But you've got to realize, for these guys, the buffets they're getting, you know, we've taken these ballpark tours where we've been inside Target Field and AT&T Park, where we know the clubhouse attendants are basically fetching whatever food they want for post-game or in between games and all that. So they experience the free food all the time. The best part is not standing online with the, you know, the TSA agents holding the gloves, you know, scanning your phone or scanning your ticket. Somebody's got to have boarding passes for four kids in front of you. People are screaming. Then you get there. You're panicked about the flight, delaying the extra stress. It's tarmac on the plane. Team's ready to go. Let's get up in the sky. It is absolutely that. No security. The bottom line is this. When you fly, the worst part about flying is dealing with people. That's it. When you're not dealing with people, half the stress of flying is out the window.
Maybe all of the stress.
Maybe all of the stress. All of the stress. So, yeah, not dealing with people is 100% the best part. I could starve for 8 hours on a flight to London as long as I don't have to deal with the people. So you can take your free food.
Think about it. When these guys go to the airport, there is no airport traffic because they're going into smaller airports, private airports, where the charter flights are.
Of course.
They're not flying into commercial airports.
No, and you're not doing... You ever do this? And I know you have. When you sit down on your flight and you say, I'm just tired. I'm going to shut my eyes. Let's see how many... You shut your shade next to you. You shut your eyes. Next thing you know, half an hour goes by. You kind of half wake up. You just want to open your shade and pick out, and you realize you're not even in the air yet. You're still in the tarmac because you're waiting to take off. There's none of that now.
Well, I mean, yes, for the most part. But, I mean, these charter flights can get grounded because of weather or air traffic. But I'm saying you drive into an airport and you've got to wait in the taxi cab line to get dropped off, got to wait for the traffic to pull forward so that you can get dropped off on the curb. Then you get inside, you've got to go get your ticket. Even if you have an electronic ticket on your phone, you've got to then check your bag.
Oh, you got to weigh it.
At the gate, right?
That moment of panic to see if it's over 45 pounds.
So you're waiting in line to check the bag. Then you get to go through TSA, and then even if you have one of those quick passes or TSA pre-check, you still got to wait in some type of line. You've got to show your ID and your ticket. Then you go through, then you got to take off your shoes, take stuff out of your bag, wait for it to come through, put your belt back on, put your shoes back on.
Push that bin through there.
Right. Then you get through that. You've got to go wait in the boarding area, and so you're waiting. You're trying to charge your phone. You're watching all these people eat horrendously smelling things right next to you. Then you got to get up and get in line with your boarding, you know, your boarding group.
And deal with the people that are online already when their boarding group's after you.
Yes.
You don't know who's where.
You've got to wait for the announcements. They're like, you're like, is that what group ZZ? What group was that? Then now you're finally in the plane. You're waiting for people to put their luggage in the overhead bins.
Oh.
You can't get by them. They're trying to walk back to the front of the plane. You're like, this is not going to work. Finally, you get to your seat. You got to wait for everybody else to put their stuff in the overhead.
And if you're lucky and you have an aisle seat, you've gotten there in the middle and the window people are already there. Otherwise, you can't even buckle in because you're just waiting for those people to arrive to get up.
That's right. Then finally, you're getting ready to go up in the air. Then you got to listen to the stewardesses and the stewards give you the safety lesson.
Oh, and every airline now has a hokey video to go with it on the screens. Like, okay, I'm not here for the comedy routine. We know how to buckle the seatbelt. Let's go.
And then finally, after all of that, you're in the air. You get to avoid all of that when you fly these professional sports charter flights.
That's it. You know what seat you got. You're not dealing with the overhead. You're not dealing with anybody. You're going to sit down. You're going to cut your little steak up. Maybe you watch a movie that's not going to cost you a ton of money. Then you kick back your lazy boy. You don't worry about being in somebody else's lap. You pass out. But oh my goodness, what a quick turnaround to go play a baseball game where I may or may not even start, and I may or may not have a ball hit to me. Cry for you. Pity poo.
Do you even think that professional athletes have assigned seats? Like, do you get a ticket of where you're going to sit on a flight, or is just every man for himself, go get your seat in your row?
I think it's every man for himself, but I think it's usually you fly so much that you just know who's whose seat, you know? Don Lemon sitting next to Don Baylor.
Don Lemon from CNN?
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to throw random names out there. That was a bad pub. I don't know.
Chet Lemon sits next to Don Baylor.
Right, exactly.
Got it. Got it.
Exactly.
All right, got it. On the Angels 1987 charter
flight. Correct,
flight.
Yeah. There's okay. Mattingly next to Matt Noakes back there. You leave that corner alone.
Speaking of baseball players and the way that it used to be, I love Bob Uecker, and I feel like we got to get Bob Uecker on the show. Of course, the voice, Harry Doyle of Major League. Now 30 years ago, we had Corbin Burnson on the show last week talking about the 30th anniversary of the movie Major League. Well, I just love Uecker, and Uecker's been going on late night TV since the early 70s when he retired as a ball player. Now, people might not even realize that Bob Uecker played more than a decade as a catcher in Major League Baseball, but he did. Now, of course, he's a longtime announcer for the Brewers. He was the dad on Mr. Belvedere, and he's just a hysterical comedic actor. Listen to his first appearance on The Tonight Show in 1971 with Johnny Carson.
Would you welcome Bob Uecker? Well, it's that time again, World Series time, and your heart must quicken.
Well, of course it is World Series time, and I guess, as I've said before, when the word baseball is mentioned, I guess my name would automatically come to your mind.
Yes, it does. Somebody gave me some pictures tonight. Are these some of the highlights?
Yes.
Of your career?
Right.
Obviously, it's a locker room celebration.
No, this is actually a picture of me getting ready for a game.
You know, don't believe in waiting too long, huh?
No, I hadn't played in a couple of days, and to get me ready, why, they...
Kind of prime me a little bit, huh?
Prime me up, right.
Was that actually a pennant winning team at all?
No, not after that picture was
taken. you were a catcher?
Yes, I was. Chaser.
You're a chaser. Now, that is you down here?
Yes, that's me. That's my hidden ball trick.
What happened in that particular?
Well, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, he had his bell rung.
Yes. That chimed for quite a while, doesn't it? Yes.
Yes, my dad came to this country as a soccer player, and, well, he wasn't actually a player. He blew up the balls, is what he did.
That's part of it.
Well, the big thing, I think a real tribute to my dad was the fact that they didn't have pumps at that time.
And he did that anyway.
Yes,
huh?
He did. He did a beautiful job. I know my dad many times would ask me, I'd be leaving the ballpark, and he'd say, where are you going to be sitting today?
That destroys a man's
pride. Well, I mean, you haven't even got there yet. And, I knew I wasn't going to get a hit that day, or maybe my last time at bat, I'd look in the visitor's dugout and see all the guys sitting there with their street clothes on.
What's the weirdest superstition with other players?
A lot of things used to bother me, John. Maybe get a threatening phone call from somebody where I'd pick up the phone, a guy would say, I hope you get a hit.
And you'd choke right
there.
Well,
I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It just bothers you the rest of the ballgame.
Bob Uecker's first appearance on The Tonight Show, 1971, shortly after he retired. Just amazing deadpan delivery. All of that is great, and the crowd is just eating it up. And note that they don't even know who Bob Uecker is. This was just kind of a nondescript catcher, backup catcher in the 1950s and 60s. And he comes out and is totally deadpan and delivers all of those lines beautifully, perfectly. We got to get Uecker on the show. We have to. It's our white whale. We've got to get Bob Uecker for the 30th anniversary of Major League on this radio show. Speaking of other great iconic actors, Rob Schneider is scheduled to join us in the third hour of the show. So we will rank the greatest Rob Schneider movies ever later on in the program. But when we come back here next, Aaron Boone gets ejected for the Yankees game yesterday, and it becomes the most viral moment of the baseball season. We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.